And I'm a Satoru. Satoru, Barry Satoru, is the actual legal name of President, U.S. President Barack Obama. Obama Satoru, time travel, and the U.S. Supreme Court. A transcript of this program, that is, the notes and references, will be available at exopolitics.com immediately after the program. Number one, Satoru Obama update. The U.S. Supreme Court has set Attorney Orley Tate's case on Obama Satoru's birth certificate and multiple Social Security numbers for February 15th, 2013, for conference on certiorari, writ of certiorari. We'll explain what that means. The decision was announced on January 9th, 2013. Some research indicates the U.S. Supreme Court may be going after Obama Satoru politically and legally, and that his, quote, protection on this issue may be ending. On the other hand, the Supreme Court, despite the evidence in the case, has denied three previous certiorari petitions. So we'll examine the evidence in this special extended broadcast, and then at the end see what the probabilities are of whether the U.S. Supreme Court will grant certiorari and hear the case or not. Here is Attorney Orley Tate's press release. Breaking news. This is dated January 9, 2013. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court John Roberts schedules a case by Attorney Tate's regarding Obama's forged IDs to be heard in conference before the Supreme Court. Law offices of Orley Tate's. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, John Roberts, scheduled a case by Orley Tate's dealing with Barack Hussein Obama's use of forged IDs to be heard in conference before the full Supreme Court. The case, titled Noonan Judd McLaren Tate's versus Bowen, provides a mountain of evidence of Barack Obama using a last name not legally his, forged selective service applications, forged long-form and short-form birth certificate, and a Connecticut Social Security number, 04268-4425, which was never assigned to him, according to E-Verify and SSNVS. Additionally, the case provides evidence of around 1.5 million invalid voter registrations in the state of California alone. Quote, please keep in mind, Richard Nixon was reelected and sworn in, but later forced to resign as a result of Watergate. Over 30 high-ranking officials of the Nixon administration, including the Attorney General of the United States and White House counsel, were indicted, convicted, and went to prison. Obama forgery gate is 100 times bigger than Watergate. I'm quoting Orley Tate's here. More corrupt high-ranking officials, U.S. attorneys, attorney generals, and judges were complicit, committed high treason by allowing a citizen of Indonesia and possibly still a citizen of Kenya, Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barack Barry Soebarka, a.k.a. Barack Barry Satoru, to usurp the U.S. presidency by the use of forged IDs and a stolen Social Security number, end of quote. That's Attorney Orley Tate's. Then we're looking at the actual title number of the case. We'll have that on exopolitics.com when the transcript is posted. This case addresses, quote, whether Obama, President Barack Obama, whose legal name is Barry Satoru, used forged government documents and faked identifications in order to get elected as commander-in-chief. Plaintiff Edward Noonan and others contend that if Obama had been ineligible to run in 2008, other Democratic candidates should have replaced him on the presidential ballot. Additionally, electoral votes from states such as California that went toward Obama should have been deemed null and void. Okay, so we can ask initially, why did the Supreme Court reverse course after denying cert? And on January 9th, 2013, in this new year, the United States had survived the fiscal cliff on January 1st, on January 9th, distributed the case and set down to the entire U.S. Supreme Court and set down a certiorari conference for February 15th, 2013, the day after Valentine's Day. First of all, what is a conference and what is certiorari? Okay, quote, at the end of a week in which the Supreme Court has held oral arguments, the justices hold a conference to discuss cases and vote on any new petitions of certiorari. The ratio is approximately 10,000 cases which go to the petitions for certiorari, which go to the court to ask for a review of a lower petition. Of 10,000 cases, only 100 get certiorari, which means we will review it. No clerks are permitted to be present, so this is done in private. At this conference, each justice, in order from the most to the least senior, states the basis on which he or she would decide the case, and a preliminary vote is taken. The granting of a writ of certiorari does not mean that the Supreme Court disagrees with the decision of the lower court. Granting a writ of certiorari merely means that at least four of the justices have determined that the circumstances described in the petition are sufficient to warrant review by the court. Conversely, the Supreme Court's denial of a writ for certiorari is sometimes misunderstood to mean that the Supreme Court approves the decision of the lower court. Such a denial, quote, imports no expression of opinion upon the merits of the case, as the bar has been told many times. So, the process will start on February 15th, 2013, on this issue of the forged birth certificate and the multiple Social Security numbers and the draft cards, as to whether certiorari will be granted or denied. Remember that the U.S. Supreme Court does not have to give reasons. Now, for its actions, it can grant or deny without comment. This is the fourth time that the U.S. Supreme Court has reviewed this issue of Barack Obama's alleged forged birth certificate, etc., and for certiorari. The lower in this case has gone as follows. The lower federal court dismissed the complaint as, quote, unworthy of further discussion. This is unworthy of further discussion. Well, we at the News Live tonight have a special program which will delineate facts, which establish beyond a reasonable doubt a threshold of evidence to show that there is probable cause here. Soon after, the attorney filed the petition of writ of certiorari to the United States Supreme Court, which was denied by Justice David Souter, in November 2008, A second petition was denied by Justice Anthony Kennedy. A third petition was referred to the Supreme Court by Justice Antonin Scalia. However, the High Court rejected the petition on January 12, 2009, just 8 days away from Obama's first inauguration as the nation's 4th chief executive. Now, we asked various people what they thought about this. Reader Chris Lannon said, well, it could go either way, right? A, case has no merit, shut up, go home, and if you speak of this again, we'll paddle your behind. European cabal gains upper hand. Or B, he's taken out, meaning Obama's taken out. Bush faction victory, ? Or victory for the people, ? I think that depends on subsequent events. And reader Maureen Craig said, quote, this is a faction fight within the Federalist, Globalist Zionist system. There's no calling a winner at this time. So that's the political readout, kind of from the person on the street that we kind of asked. So the U.S. Supreme Court, the day after Valentine's Day, should be February 14th, on February 15th, 2013, could deny certiorari, and that would be the practical end of any judicial review of the legal issues of a president of the United States presenting what we will show is probable cause of a forged birth certificate by multiple experts. Now, right when the president's birth certificate came out and was presented at a international press conference, and then at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Exopathy has shown good cause that Obama Satoru's birth certificate is a forgery. And you can go to Exopolitics TV and see our program, Investigative Reporter, newly released Obama birth certificate is a forensic forgery. We'll have this link in the transcript at exopolitics.com. Five, whatever the outcome of the February 15, 2013 U.S. Supreme Court conference of the Obama-Satoru case, the News Live is presenting its best case tonight for who is Barack Obama anyway? What is the time travel connection? Isn't Obama kind of in reality, there is no such person as Barack Obama Jr. or Barack Obama II. This is a manufactured legend, manufactured by the U.S. intelligence agencies, specifically the CIA, using time travel information. And we will detail this now in extenso. And we will show that, in fact, the faction, and this is, more probably than not, or a good case for, the man who's now occupying the U.S. Oval Office, the President of the United States, the entity whose legal name is Barry Satoru, was most probably born in the state of Washington. And all this Kenya stuff is a diversion that has come about as a result of the legend that the U.S. intelligence agencies and their operatives built in 1971 in December in a 6 weeks meeting in Honolulu. Okay, so let's start with the status report. And all the following is based on reporting by Alfred Lamont Weber that is available at exopolitics.com. 1971, a key nexus point. Let me just get this here. 1971, a key nexus point in the Satoru-Obama deception, and this is in the Satoru-Obama legend building, occurs in 1971 when Barack Hussein Obama is pre-identified by a DARPA CIA time travel as the 44th President of the United States, sworn in on January 20th, 2009. And you can go to exopolitics.com, the right-hand menu, and look at links for time travel in the U.S. presidency and time travel and teleportation, and you'll find all the interviews and the articles there. Stanley and Dunham is directed by CIA handlers to arrange a paternity agreement with Barack Obama Sr. in Honolulu. This is in 1971. That is, they pre-identified Barack Obama as a U.S. president in 1971, this African-American president who would be sworn in on January 20, 2009, and his mother, Stanley Ann Dunham, who then was a CIA operative working under cover of AID in Indonesia, was directed to bring together a meeting in Honolulu in December of 1971 to arrange a legend, including a paternity agreement with a Kenyan civil servant named Barack Obama Sr., who was then in Kenya and was flown back for that meeting in Honolulu, and who only met Barry Satoru, the young 10-year-old Barry Satoru, once at the airport, went for a photo op. That's how legends are made. Okay, 1980, Barry Satoru and Stanley Ann Dunham participate in a secret CIA jump room training program with Andrew D. Bashago, William Brett Stillings, and Bernard Mendez, three courageous key whistleblowers. You can go to exopolitics.com and see an article there on that subject. That article was suppressed by Tommy Veeder on December 3rd, 2012. He is the official spokesperson of the U.S. National Security Council, whose chairperson is the U.S. National Security Advisor, and which includes the president and the vice president. At this training, Stanley Ann Dunham reveals Barry Satoru's identity as a future U.S. president to Mr. Bashago. In 1982, under CIA instructions, Satoru Obama changes his assumed name, Barack Munir Ubaid, which he had assumed as a CIA operative. He became a CIA operative in 1980. We'll show all this as we go through in the presentation, to Barack Hussein Obama in a court in Skookumchuck, British Columbia, on October 14, 1982. And we have the raised seal change of name document from that period. And witnesses such as Mr. Bashago who met Mr. Obama Satoru post-1982 in Los Angeles, recall him identifying himself both as Barack Obama and friends of his referring to him as a future U.S. president. Well, let's continue this status report. We'll show that Satoru Obama is from a third-generation CIA family. As we said, Satoru Obama participated in a 1980-83 secret CIA jump room program that was kind of through technology gifted by a specific species of grays, a chronovisor that permitted them to visit the planet Mars, among other locations. We'll show that Satoru Obama was a covert CIA infiltrator informant against black activists and possibly Islamist groups in this time period. It's not that he's Islamist, it's that he was infiltrating them. it's not that he was a black activist, is that he was infiltrating them as a CIA operative, will show that Satoru Obama appears to be supported by a global New World Order agenda, misusing quantum access technologies and such as HARP, which created Hurricanes Isaac at the beginning of the last phase of the U.S. presidential campaign in 2012, and Hurricane Sandy at the end, and that guaranteed Obama's re-election. And you can go to our program, the News Lives program, Hurricane Sandy as a false flag, HARP false flag operation, to show you that. We'll show in this program how all Obama-Satoru birth certificates appear to be forgeries or anomalous. We'll show how no DNA evidence has ever established Obama-Satoru's paternity. And we'll show how there has never been an official name change from Barry Satoru to Barack Obama. The Satoru's divorce, this was the Indonesian stepmother that Barry Satoru's birth mother was married to at the time he was pre-identified in 1971 as a future U.S. president. They were divorced in August of 1980, the summer of the secret U.S. Mars training. We'll show how all these divorces, including a assassination by car accident of Barack Obama Sr. in 1982, the same year that Obama-Satoru changed his name to Barack Obama, were all being orchestrated from behind the scenes by the CIA handlers. So, okay, so let's go to the December 1971 Honolulu visit, at which the legend of Barack Obama was created. In December of 1971, Stanley N. Dunham, again, Satoru Obama's birth mother, who was in Asia as a CIA operative under cover of AID, organized a 6-week meeting in Honolulu, brought over Barack Obama Sr., a Kenyan civil servant, to create a paternity deal and a legend. And this 1971 was the same year as the CIA DARPA's Project Pegasus began to hold briefings with persons who had been pre-identified as U.S. presidents, including George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. Now, when Barry Satoru, the 10-year-old Barry Satoru, came to that meeting in 1971, he did not reaffirm U.S. citizenship. He entered, he had no U.S. certification of citizenship. He reentered the United States with his Hawaiian certificate of live birth, and there was no legal change from Barry Satoru to Barack Hussein Obama. And Obama Sr. in 1971 visited Hawaii for 1 month over the Christmas holidays, and there was a deal there whereby Obama Sr. would provide providence or cover as the father of Satoru in return for a financial payoff. The certificate of live birth of Barry Satoru designates him as Barack Hussein Obama II. The second is named for someone else, not a junior. It's a business arrangement. And Stanley Ann Dunham's father Neil Abercrombie of Honolulu, who became Hawaii's governor during the 2008 election and helped support Barack Obama get through the fraudulent birth certificate crisis at that time, was the one who orchestrated the December 1971 meeting. He was a buddy of Obama Sr. and the only black person that the Dunhams knew other than Frank Marshall Davis. And this is the only reason that Barack Obama Sr., this Kenyan civil servant, would have been visiting the Dunham Hawaii for a month to 6 weeks. When he came, there's only one photo of Obama Sr., Barry Satoru, and Stanley Ann Dunham at the airport. Boom. It was a photo op, and then for 6 weeks, they planned the whole business arrangement of how Barry Satoru would become Barack Obama II, Barack Obama Sr. would be the father in this kind of intelligence legend, because time travel, secret time travel information, had informed them that this 10-year-old Barry Satoru would be a future U.S. president, inaugurated on January 20th, 2009. So Barack Obama Sr. thought he had won the lottery. But 2 years later, in 1982, when the CIA directed Barry Satoru to change his name legally to Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, in a Canadian court here in British Columbia, that at that same time, the Kenyan civil servant, Barack Obama Sr., was assassinated by a CIA-directed car accident in Kenya. Why? Because dead men tell no tales. And we'll see that that's a pattern here, as Barack Obama's grandmother was assassinated just right in the 2008 election, because she really knew too much. So let's continue this. And so let's look at why Barack Obama's birth certificate. These are the facts that the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be looking at. You know, so you be the judge. You be the judge as to whether or not there's probable cause here that the U.S. Supreme Court would want to review the dismissal of the case by the lower court, which said, "Oh, this is a frivolous case." The birth certificate released by the White House on April 27, 2011 is a forgery. Here we have the expert analysis by Doug Vogt of Bellevue, Washington. Number one, there's curved and non-curved type, which has been scanned both in grayscale and binary. Number two, there's a white haloing around all of the type on the form. There are two types of images. Number three, this is from a very lengthy analysis. Three, the Obama certificate is loaded with both binary and grayscale letters. This shows it's a forgery. Number four, the sequential number is a fraud. Satoru Obama, 8461, that's the birth date, 10641. The Nordyke twins, who were born on 8561, is 10637 and 10638. Virginia Sunahara was born on 10461. She had a form of 11080. There are multiple parties. So they chose the date of a baby who died for the forgery, i.e., Doug Vogt went in and said, this is a typical forgery. They went in and got a death certificate and then chose the date of the baby who died. Five, there are two different colors on form box 22 and 20, the date accepted by the Registrar General. Number six, the official seal is not part of the certificate of live birth. Number seven, the hand stamp certification from the current register is a forged stamp notice. Number eight, there are multiple layers in the PDF file from the White House. Quote, the file created on April 27, 2011, downloaded from the White House, was modified on April 28, 2011 at 9:58 a.m., the day after the news conference. The whole White House and the president had a Seattle-based lawyer fly to Hawaii and pick up a signed and stamped paper certificate of live birth and fly directly to Washington, D.C. is obviously not the document the public has been shown. In other words, the whole story is not true. No OCR processing. Okay, number 10. Stanley Ann Dunham's 1967 passport application. Stanley Ann Dunham's U.S. passport application. Number one, she drops Barack Hussein Obama Sir Barker from her 1967 passport application because of the following warning. Quote, I have not, and no other person included, and or to be included in the passport or documentation has, since acquiring U.S. citizenship, been naturalized as a citizen of a foreign state, taken an oath, or made an affirmation or formal declaration of allegiance to a foreign state, entered or served in the U.S. Armed Forces. In other words, Stanley Ann Dunham in 1967, that's when Barack was 6 years old, dropped him from her passport application because he had become a citizen of Indonesia. And as a citizen, what can be a quote, what can be extrapolated from this is that Obama was in fact adopted by Lolo Sotoro, making Obama a citizen of Indonesia, a fact supported by the Franciscus Assisi School registration document that identifies Barry Sotoro as an Indonesian citizen, and his religion was identified by Islam. And we have all the passport applications, the striking the sun out, and all of that. Number 11, there is no DNA evidence identifying Obama Sotoro's paternity. Phenotype, that is, you know, where your face looks like, you know, and there are all these pictures on the internet. Oh, he looks like Malcolm X. He looks like this guy. He looks like the other guy. Phenotype is not valid establishing paternity. Genetic factors cause many children not to physically resemble their parents. In any case, children, you know, male children resemble their mothers, not their fathers, if that. So that there are the paternity theories for Obama Sotoro, and we'll go through them. One of these is by Stephen Pidgeon, who's a lawyer in Washington State. Number one, there are many witnesses to Stanley Ann Dunham's, that's Obama's mother's presence in Oahu, the main island in Honolulu, Hawaii, from September 1960 to February 1961. Obama was allegedly born in August of 1961. From March 1961 to August 1962, there's no witnesses to Stanley Ann Dunham's presence on Oahu. There's nobody there who can witness that Stanley Ann Dunham, who was a fixture on Oahu, was there. And Stanley Ann Dunham returns to Oahu in August of 1962 from the University of Washington. There's no Hawaii physicians, nurses, or midwives that have any recollection of Obama Sotoro's birth. And in Washington State, what this attorney concludes is that the actual vault birth certificate of Obama Sotoro is probably housed in Washington State under a name that nobody recognized. And why Washington State? Because Stanley Ann Dunham was young. She became pregnant, and her parents were from this island that's off of Washington State, there off of Seattle. And she went there from the pregnancy, for the pregnancy in February 1961. And she stayed there and had the baby there in the state of Washington. There's some theory that she came across to BC, but that's, you know, and had the baby here. And now, here's the theory for the Canadian birth, but it's pretty slim. The Dunhams, that is her parents, wanted to get their daughter, Stanley Ann Dunham, who was pregnant, to Aunt Eleanor in Blaine, Washington, which was 100 miles from Seattle. So she goes into labor there, and the closest hospital is in White Rock, BC. So the child is born, as Barack Obama, is born in Canada, and the senior Dunham, who's also a lifelong CIA operative, files a born-at-home birth application to secure American citizenship for her grandson. And so that these are the Obama grandparents who are also CIA, who are just manipulating the system. Now, as we said, from March 1961 to August 1962, there are no witnesses of Obama's mother, Stanley Ann Dunham's presence on Oahu. And this is consistent with a Washington state birth. In Seattle, Washington, Barack Obama may have been born in Seattle, Washington. Mercer Island, Washington, Stanley Ann Dunham was seen on, there are witnesses to her being on Mercer Island, Washington, just after giving birth, getting diapers and doing the whole diaper young mother thing on Mercer Island, Washington. And these are witnesses. And there are no witnesses to her being on Oahu. Now, there's people saying, oh, he's, the father is Malcolm X, and there's some, a line of research there. A researcher by the name of Martha Trowbridge says that follows this particular theory. You know, you note the strong chin, just like Malcolm X. However, the person who has a strong chin is Stanley Ann Dunham, and if you're going by phenotype, the male babies follow the female phenotype, if you go by that theory, which is not a very strong one. Barack Obama's being a Kenyan is just another disinformation, false lead, and displacement, because that was based on what came out in December 1971, that they brought the Kenyan civil service, Barack Obama Sr., over to create the legend. Why? Because they had gone forward in time to 2009 and discovered that there was a U.S. president named Barack Obama, who was an African-American, who would take the oath of office on January 20th, 2009. So there's all these planted kind of false leads. It's like 9/11, where they have, you know, explosives, HAARP, the airplanes, a lot of false leads. There's a Kenyan birth certificate, which is itself a forgery. It's based on an Australian model and using a notation for Kenya that did not exist at the time. And the alleged Kenyan grandmother, Sarah, stated in an interrupted phone call that Obama Sotoro was born on August 4th, 1961. I don't know how valid that testimony is. And there's a case, they say, well, she could have brought the baby back to Washington State on her U.S. passport, which was coincidentally destroyed in 1965. So those are some of the things there. However, you know, so that scenario is that Stanley Ann Dunham gave birth in Kenya. She got on a plane, brought the baby back, showed the U.S. passport, got to Washington, hid out on Mercer Island, and that's where they saw her, all the witnesses saw her on Mercer Island with the diapers, okay? Who is the father of Barack Obama, the genetic father? Well, we don't have DNA evidence. That could easily be determined if we got DNA from Obama Sr. Okay, so let's look at the sealing of the Obama Satoru records. This was an executive order, 13489, adopted January 21st, 2009, the day after the inauguration. The following orders, records are sealed by executive order. Number one, the adoption records, the Hawaii Department of Health records are sealed. The adoption by Lola Satori in Indonesia. Number two, the kindergarten records of Noelani Elementary School, Hawaii, 1966-67 records are sealed. Three, the Punahou School records, 1971-79 scholarship records are sealed. Number four, the Occidental College, Los Angeles, 1979 scholarship records are sealed. There was a lawsuit. The lawsuit to reveal these records was quashed. There's a question as to whether Obama Satoru applied for Fulbright scholarships, which are open only to foreign students to study at Occidental, stating that he was an Indonesian citizen. At Columbia University, which states that he transferred in 1981, the records are sealed. Even Fox News contacted 400 classmates. 400 classmates, and no one could remember him. Harvard Law School, the records are sealed. Allegedly, he was admitted by because of a letter from Percy Sutton, a very powerful former borough president of Manhattan, and one of the world's wealthiest men, Khalil Abdullah Tariq al-Mansur, who gave $20 million to Harvard Law School. So the admission to Harvard Law School was bought for $20 million. Obama's records as a University of Chicago law professor are sealed. Obama published no articles and refused tenure at the law school. His autobiography, Dreams of My Father, there's a study which shows that the author is actually William B. Ayers of The Weather Underground. The medical records are sealed. All that we have is a six-paragraph note from his physician as to his physical condition. Number 10, as to his Chicago law practice, Obama's Chicago law practice from 2004 at Davis, Minor, Barnhill, and Galland, where he represented Tony Resco. Those records are sealed. His records as an Illinois state senator from 1997 to 2004. This is public records. Those records are sealed. This is a public official. Those records are sealed. His records for Social Security, where he's had multiple numbers, those records are sealed. His records for Selective Service numbers, those records are sealed. His records for State Department and Passport travel records, those records are sealed. That's 14. Okay, so let's go to number 13 now. Obama Satoru is from a third-generation CIA family, and this is research that investigative reporter Wayne Matson put together. Number one, Barack Obama Sr., that was chosen as the part of the legend, he was from a CIA network headed up by Tom Mboya in Canyon, who was a CIA cooperator who selected Obama Sr. to come over to the University of Hawaii. And Obama Sr. was met at the Hawaii airport by Stanley Armour Dunham, father of Stanley and Dunham, and two U.S. Navy personnel from Hickam Air Force Base, which showed, which had a great CIA role in the U.S. Airlift Africa projects. Obama Sr. stayed at the CIA Asia Foundation and the East-West Center, which is the guest house there. Obama Sr. was a friend of Mboya, a CIA asset, and Obama Sr., when he went back to Kenya and became a civil servant, testified at the 1969 trial of Mboya's alleged assassin. So these are the CIA networks of influence in Kenya. Number five, Obama Sr. died in a 1982 car crash, the same year, 1982, as Obama Sator became Barack Hussein Obama, and in the British Columbia name change is in the CIA Secret Mars program, the same year as Stanley Ann Dunnan divorces Lola Sator in August of 1980. And is this a suspicious car crash? It looks like murder by car crash. Number 14, let's look at Stanley Armour Dunham. We have a photo. This is Obama's maternal grandfather. There's a photo of Armour Dunham with Obama Sr., the Kenyan civil servant, indicates that Armour Dunham was part of the CIA funded, was a coordinator, a U.S.-based coordinator to meet Obama Sr., who was part of a CIA-funded project to educate Africans and bring them for training in the U.S. and make them part of the CIA network. Stanley Armour Dunham, Obama's grandfather, worked in the 1950s for the CIA in the Middle East. An FBI file on him existed and was destroyed on May 1, 1997. Pre-1968 passport records of Obama's mother, Stanley Ann Dunham, were destroyed by the State Department. Hey, isn't that amazing? The Dunhams were assigned by the CIA to Beirut, Lebanon in the 90s, and we have a photograph of Stanley Ann Dunham, Obama's mother, wearing a school uniform with the insignia NDJ, which stands for Collège Notre-Dame de Jamour, a private Jesuit Catholic French language school in Beirut, Lebanon, so that Obama's grandfather was part of the CIA station there. Now let's look at his mother, Madeline Dunham. She died on the eve of the 2008 election. Madeline Dunham raised Sator Obama from 1971 forward. She was the first female vice president of the Bank of Hawaii in Honolulu. The Bank of Hawaii is a CIA front entity, and Madeline Dunham handled the escrow accounts used to make CIA money laundering. And one of the accounts she handled was Bishop Baldwin, Rawal, Dillingham, and Wong, BBRDW, which funded covert CIA programs in Asia. And BBRDW's principal included John C. Jack Kinchy, CIA station chief in Honolulu. So that Madeline Dunham would oversee much of BBRW's covert financial transactions. So she was the in-house CIA person at the bank. And she, too, had a suspicious death. I call it, you know, murder, assassination. Dead people tell no tales. November 2nd or 3rd, 2008, the day before the election day for the sympathy vote, according to sources employed in the coroner's office, Madeline Dunham actually died on October 21st, 2008, and was cremated on Friday, October 24th, 2008. The campaign announced, the Obama campaign announced that she died on November 2nd or 3rd, 2008. And, you know, at that time they said, no photos, please, no photos or video. And this is Obama saying, no photos or video. My grandmother just died. The election is tomorrow. And in fact, the sources in the coroner's office said that Marilyn Dunham died on October 21st, 2008 and was cremated on October 24th, 2008. That's how the CIA circuits work. So there you go, folks. Those are the facts. Those are the hard, cold facts. Lolo Satora, or as reported, Lolo Satora, Satora Obama's stepfather, Ann Dunham met Satora at the CIA West Center, Hawaii, in 1965. Dunham met and married Satora. The center director was the U.S. ambassador to Indonesia, former U.S. ambassador to Indonesia, where they met. Colonel Lolo Satora was sent to Indonesia on July 20th, 1965 for the CIA's coup against Sukarno. That coup resulted in 1 million dead, and Stanley and Dunham then went for Indonesia to take a job at undercover at AID, and what I've read in the research is that her job was to identify Sukarno, you know, people who favored the Sukarno and who were against the Suharto regime for assassination by the CIA death squad. So that's kind of the kind of person that we're dealing with. Stanley Ann Dunham taught English. That was a cover for USAID, a major cover for CIA activities in Indonesia, Southeast Asia, Laos, South Vietnam, and Thailand. The USAID program was also known as Lembaga Pendidikan Pembinaan Manajemen. Stanley Ann Dunham worked for the Ford Foundation, the World Bank, Asian Development Bank, the Bank Rakyat, the majority government-owned People's Bank of Indonesia, and the CIA-linked USAID while she lived in Indonesia and later Pakistan. And Stanley Ann Dunham, let me just get this up again, excuse me. In the 1970s to 80s, she worked on microloan projects for the Ford Foundation, the CIA-linked East-West Center, and USAID in Indonesia. The CIA-linked Dr. Gordon Donald Jr. directed USAID Dunham projects also in Lahore, Pakistan, where Dunham spent 5 years living in the Hilton International Hotel, working for the Asian Development Bank. Number four, CIA Jakarta alumnus Robert Greeley, director for Asia Pacific for J.P. Morgan, and at this time, former Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, this is Obama's Treasury Secretary, Timothy Geithner's father, Peter Geithner, was the Ford Foundation's Asia grant selector who funneled the money to Ann Dunham's Indonesian projects, which were the cover for her CIA cover. The CIA black projects in Hawaii. While Stanley Ann Dunham was in Pakistan, Obama visited her in 1980 and 81. Obama visited Karachi, Lahore, and Hyderabad, India during his South Asia visits. It was during this time period that the CIA was beefing up its anti-Soviet operations in Afghanistan. There's some thought that Obama at this time was acting as a CIA operative. then we have his, which we've mentioned, Barack Obama's participation in the 1980 CIA jumping program. Now, let's look at the evidence that Barack Obama is in fact a covert infiltrator, CIA infiltrator informant, against black activists and possibly Islamist groups. Number one, in 1983-84, Business International Corporation. After graduating from Columbia University in 1983, Barack Obama went to work for a firm called Business International Corporation, BIC, a firm that was linked to economic intelligence gathering for the CIA. For 1 year, Obama worked as a researcher in BIC's financial services division, where he wrote for two BIC publications, Financing Foreign Operations and Business International Money Report, a weekly newsletter. CIA family, quote, President Obama's own work in 1983 for Business International Corporation dovetails with CIA espionage activities conducted by his mother, Stanley Ann Dunham, in 1960s post-coup Indonesia on behalf of a number of CIA front operations, including the East-West Center at the University of Hawaii, the U.S. Agency for International Development, and the Ford Foundation. Dunham met and married Lola Satoru, Obama's stepfather, at the East-West Center in 1965. Satoru was recalled to Indonesia in 1965 to serve as a senior army fellow and assist Suharto and the CIA in the bloody overthrow of President Sukarno. May 18th, 2010, Satoru Obama, guilty of 17 counts. The Honorable Tribunal, the Honorable Bob Unger presiding, convened by Pastor James David Manning of the Outlaw World Missionary Church, protected by an order of the U.S. Supreme Court. And this is a tribunal that was brought together to review all of the issues of Columbia University by the pastor of James David Manning in Harlem, right up against Columbia University, which was protected by an order of the New York Supreme Court. You can find all of their proceedings online. And they found that Barack Obama and Columbia were guilty on all counts, including election fraud, obstruction of justice, disclosure of state secrets, and sedition against a former Columbia University president, its board of trustees, and Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Satoru. And at this stage, we're 1 hour into this special program. We're going to continue with it because we have just a few minutes left. And I realize that this is longer than our normal 30-minute program, but it's a special program. What they found is that Obama was never a student at Columbia. Fox News Channel's Bill Hemmer, in a lengthy news report, their investigators interviewed over 400 Columbia graduates from the class of 1983, none of whom had ever heard or knew of Obama. ABC's George Stephanopoulos, who was class of 1982, never heard of or knew Obama. The Wall Street Journal reported that Obama was never at Columbia University. Wayne Allen Root, the Libertarian Party's 2008 vice presidential nominee, who also attended Columbia at the same time as Barack Obama, said, quote, "I don't know a single person at Columbia that knows him, and they all know me. I don't have a classmate who ever knew Barack Obama at Columbia." Two investigators researched the Columbia University yearbooks, 1981 to 85, and found the following. No pictures or mention of the names Obama, Satoru, or Dunham. Obama's alleged political science class of 1983 had 43 students, only two of whom were black, and those two looked nothing like Barack Obama. Pastor Manning himself, who was in studies at the Union Theological Seminary and across the street institution to Columbia, and a member of the Columbia University Student Union, 81, 82, 83, never heard of or saw a fellow black student named Obama, Satora, or Dunham. Seven, in these findings, Barack Obama was recruited by the CIA while at Occidental College in California in 1979, was a foreign student, non-U.S. citizen, Arab-speaking Muslim, to work with the Mujahideen in Afghanistan and Pakistan to help drive the Russians out of Afghanistan. Obama traveled often during the early 1980s to Karachi, Pakistan, under a Kenyan passport, to visit often with his mother of modest means, where she lived in a five-star hotel for 5 years while working for the Asian Development Bank, a proven front for George Bush's senior CIA. Number nine, use anywhere from 20 to 120-plus Social Security numbers of persons both living or dead that detailed investigative reporting by two private investigators proved have been associated with the names Obama, Satora, and Dunham. Note, both Obama's mother and grandmother were at Bankers for years and had access to thousands of Social Security numbers and passports. Satora Obama appears to be supported by a global New World Order agenda, as shown by false flag hurricanes Isaac and Sandy, that guaranteed the election of Satora Obama in the 2012 U.S. election. Barack Obama is a willing asset of an international war crimes racketeering organization controlling HARP. The ultimate culpability for the genocidal operations of HARP lies with the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization led by the bloodlines in the City of London financial complex, including the Rothschild family, the British monarchy, and specific noble bloodlines in the Rockefeller families. This interest controls the World Uranium Company, our major landowners of the planet, and have espoused a global depopulation program for at least 100 years. The specific nation states carrying out these tectonic and radiation attacks do so as part of Agenda 21, a depopulation program enunciated when Henry Alfred Kissinger was U.S. Secretary of State and a deep operative of this war crimes racketeering organization. And you can see the news live for November 2nd, 2012, Hurricane Sandy as environmental war. And not only that, but Obama himself appears to be under MKUltra mind control. And in his May 25th, 2012 appearance at Westminster Hall in the UK, a privilege only of the Pope, the Queen, and the Obama, a video analysis appears to show the greeting of Obama by Church of England's officials using MKUltra hand signals on Obama, who in turn becomes disoriented and writes the wrong date in the diary. He writes May 24th, 2012, not May 25th. And I know that because May 24th is my birthday. Now, we also want to state that Barack Obama is carrying this out as one more in a time travel captured U.S. presidency, where all presidents, including Clinton, Bush Sr., Bush Jr., and Obama, as well as Vice President Richard B. Cheney, have been identified as future presidents and vice presidents. President Obama and Bush Jr. were told that the future presidents in their early 20s and were prepared for their president see in a secret program. And these time travel presidents are control entities that can govern from the right or the left as necessary. And you can see our the News Live program on this. So, in summing up them, will the U.S. Supreme Court grant certiorari or review this case? Is there probable cause here? Will they overturn the lower court decision that, oh, there's nothing here to this case, and it's February 15, 2013 judgment? Well, first of all, as the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Bush versus Gore shows, the U.S. Supreme Court will rule in favor of a time travel pre-identified U.S. president, in this case, George W. Bush, anytime. Bush versus Gore, 531 U.S. 98, 2000, is a U.S. Supreme Court decision that effectively resolved the dispute surrounding the 2000 U.S. presidential campaign in favor of George W. Bush. And they're the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of the time travel pre-identified U.S. president. So, that's, in our judgment, the U.S. judicial system has become lawless, and it is impossible to predict its actions from a legal point of view, where a major New World Order asset, such as Barack Obama, Barry Satoru, is involved. We will have a follow-up, the News Live program, if the U.S. Supreme Court does in fact grant certiorari and will review this case. Here in this program, the News Live has set out the facts of the Obama-Satoru birth certificate fraud and the time travel intelligence legend created around Barack Obama. We have done so for the public record and for the public good. Thank you for listening and for your attention. And remember, expect a miracle, because life and the entire universe and the multiverse is miraculous. Thank you.